the Ford Show. Australia and your friendly Ford dealer present this, your special Christmas broadcast, with Bob Gibson leading the Ford Show Orchestra, Norma Francis, Daryl Stewart, Johnny O'Connor, and the Consulaire. This is David Lowe speaking. As a special Christmas treat, we'll be presenting tonight a rebroadcast of an original story told on the Ford Show two Christmases ago by the well-known radio actress, Miss Sheila Sewell. And let's begin the Ford Show by making a toast to the day we celebrate and wishing all listeners far and wide the happiest day of this happiest season.
It's a hap, hap, happy day, toodle-oodle-oodle-oodle-lay, for you and me, for us and we, all the clouds have rolled away. It's a hap, hap, happy day, toodle-oodle-oodle-oodle-lay, the sun shines bright and the world's all right. It's a hap, hap, happy day. 24 sunbeams are dancing round my face. 40 more are dancing every place. It's a hap, hap, happy day. Toodle-oodle-oodle-oodle-lay. You can't go wrong if you sing a song. It's a hap, hap, happy day.
And here's that man again. What would Christmas be without him? Decked out in modern rhythm, it's Papa Santa Claus, introduced by Johnny O'Connor and the Consulaire.
The toys gave a party for Papa Santa Claus, and it was the party of the year. They all bought a present for Papa Santa Claus, and he grinned from ear to ear.
There was brand new harness for the reindeer, new jingle bells for the sleigh, and they all wished him a Merry Christmas, and the Toyland Band began to play, and the North Pole rocked with laughter and applause when the toys gave a party for Papa Santa Claus.
The big bass drum went boom de boom boom boom.
And jolly old King Cole put down his pipe and bowl and joined the other dogs and thanks the pause.
The gingham cowboy rode the rocking horse
and tried to rope the Indian, of course. But when the circus clown put on a lady's gown, they laughed so loud the chandelier fell down.
The toys gave a party for Papa Santa Claus. It was the party of the year. They all bought a present for Papa Santa Claus, and he grinned from ear to ear.
There was brand new harness for the reindeer, new jingle bells for the sleigh, and they all wished him a Merry Christmas. Toyland Band began to play, and the North Pole rocked with laughter and applause when the toys gave a party for Papa Santa Claus.
Let's pause a while now for a mood of reverie while Daryl Stewart reminds us of the more spiritual aspect of the festive season. Here in the theme of an old, old folk song is a vision of the guiding star, the wise men of the East following its beckoning gleam until at last they stand silent before a crib in Bethlehem. Santa Natale.
Santa Natale, Santa Natale, this is my way of saying Merry Christmas. Santo Natale, Santo Natale, may your blessings be many and your troubles be few to those I love who are so dear. we are near or far away. I this holy wish with all the love in my heart. Santo Natale, Santo Natale, this is my way of saying Merry Christmas to you. This is my way of saying Merry Christmas to you.
Once again, here's the life and soul of the party, bearing a swag of Christmas loot for the children and good luck for one and all. You can't keep him out. And Norma Francis advises that Santa Claus is coming.
Santa Claus is coming, riding on his sleigh. Jingle bells are ringing, Santa's on his way. Santa Claus is coming, riding through the snow. Have you started wishing Santa wants to know?
First thing Christmas morning, hanging by your bed, you will find your stocking full, just like Mommy said.
Santa Claus is coming, so be bright and gay. Santa Claus is coming to you on Christmas Day.
Christmas is, of course, a special treat for kiddies, with toys and plum pudding and ice cream. And so for the children, Johnny O'Connor presents a brand new number entitled, Nothing for Christmas.
I broke my bat on Johnny's head and somebody snitched on me. I hid a frog in sister's bed, somebody snitched on me. I spilled some ink on mommy's rug, I met Tommy eat a bug. Bought some gum with a penny slug, somebody snitched on me.
Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I ain't been nothing but
bad. I put a tack on teacher's chair, somebody snitched on me. I tied a knot in Susie's hair and somebody snitched on me. I did a dance on mommy's plants, climbed a tree and tore my pants, filled the sugar bowl with ants, somebody snitched on me. So
I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I ain't been nothing but bad.
I won't be seeing Santa Claus, somebody snitched on me. He won't come visit me because somebody snitched on me. Next year I'll be going straight, next year I'll be good, just wait. I'd start now but it's too late, somebody snitched on me. Oh,
I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I ain't been nothing but bad. So you better be good, whatever you do, 'cause if you're bad, I'm warning you, you'll get nothing for Christmas.
And now, in response to requests from Ford Show listeners everywhere, we present an original Christmas story written for the Ford Show by James Workman and featured in our broadcast of two Christmases ago. To tell this story, entitled Looking for Christmas, here is one of Australia's best-known radio actresses, Miss Sheila Sewell.
Christmas in a big city. A seasonable Christmas with the snowflakes falling gently, which seem to make the tall buildings all the taller and the glow of the lights all the warmer. Everybody was buying each other Christmas gifts and wishing each other a Merry Christmas. There were colored lights and tinsel and tall Christmas trees and crackers and children's happy faces everywhere. It was a lovely Christmas, all except for the little boy with the big eyes walking by himself up the street, which was in the very center of the town. He looked neither to the right nor the left. His little cold hands were deep in his coat pocket, and there was something about his face which made people pause in their busy ways and stare. But the little boy paid them no attention. He walked on till he came to the square right in the center of the town. And there was a Christmas tree, which was the tallest of them all, with a great star right on the top. And there the little boy paused and listened, with his great eyes wide open, and his face so enrapt that he seemed to be one with that happy, dancing throng. Then, when it was over, he turned away and went across the road to where he knew there was a store, a huge store, crammed with every gift imaginable. Trains and dolls and cowboy outfits, model cars and Indian hen dresses and spaceman suits, scooters and bicycles and footballs and cricket bats. Oh, everything a little cold boy with great staring eyes could want. But the little boy didn't pause or look at any of the things for sale. He knew what he wanted, and he didn't look to his left or his right, but walked straight there. He walked straight to the man he wanted to talk to. But a lot of other boys and girls were there before him, and they called him back. And when he didn't seem to know what they meant or where he should go, they pulled him back and put him right on the very end of the waiting queue. He didn't seem to mind, but waited patiently, looking straight ahead of him, as the other boys and girls told Father Christmas what they wanted to find in their Christmas stockings when they woke up in the morning. And then it was the little boy's turn. By now he was so excited that when Father Christmas said, "And what do you want, little man?" he couldn't answer, for the little boy's fists were clenched. And because he wanted to ask so very much, he found he still couldn't ask at all. And wise old Father Christmas, who knows all about children, said, "Well, well, well, sit on my knee, sonny, and we won't say anything, but we'll just think of all the things we'd like. And when you've thought long enough, perhaps you'll be able to tell me." And the two sat there, the little boy with the great sad eyes and Father Christmas. And they didn't say a word. And then, when they'd sat there a very long time, the little boy suddenly threw his arms around Father Christmas's neck and whispered in his ear. At first, Father Christmas smiled. Then he looked worried. And finally, he looked quite frightened. And he didn't seem able to find anything to say as he put the little boy off his knee and stood him on the floor. And the little boy, with his great big unseeing eyes filled now with tears, went sadly away and started to walk down the street to go home. But soon he found himself running, running as fast as he could, because he was so disappointed and the world seemed topsy-turvy and his faith in Father Christmas had all gone. He ran and he ran and he ran. He ran so fast and so far that when he had to stop because he was out of breath, he didn't know where he was. Dispirited and miserable, he sat down in the doorway and leant back against the door. And he was very surprised when the door opened and he fell backwards into a room. There was a man sitting in the room. And the little boy asked him who he was. And the man said he was Father Christmas. And the little boy and the man who called himself Father Christmas stared at each other. And the little boy with the great big eyes suddenly thought, maybe this is Father Christmas, the real Father Christmas. I've run so far and I don't know where I am, and very probably this is the real Father Christmas. So he asked the man if he was. And the man said, Father Christmas has got a beard and a red coat, and he wears a great big belt. But the little boy looked at the man who hadn't got any of these things. And suddenly the little boy climbed on the man's knee and whispered in his ear, too. At first the man didn't seem able to understand. Then he did some extraordinary things. He switched the light off, then switched it on again. He lit a cigarette and held the match till it burnt his fingers. And then he stared at the little boy for a long time. The little boy didn't know it, but the man held a gun. The little boy didn't know it, but the man was remembering things. Remembering when he was a little boy and what Christmas had meant to him. Remembering other things about Christmas too. Remembering things that hardly any of us think enough about at Christmas time. He was thinking about goodwill to all men, and about a man who understood men like he was. He was thinking he couldn't get away anyhow. And presently, when the little boy had fallen asleep in the man's arms, men in uniform came to the door, policemen with guns in their hands, but they didn't need them. And one policeman asked the man what he was thinking, and the man said, I'm thinking this is Christmas time. I'm thinking of the man called Jesus who was born. I'm thinking when he was crucified, two thieves were crucified with him. That's what I'm thinking of in particular, the two thieves who died with him. Christ was born today. Perhaps this little boy could be born today, in a manner of speaking. And when the little boy woke up the next morning, safe and sound in his own home, many strange things happened. First, he was taken to see a doctor, who, after a great deal of preliminary work, said, yes, I think it could be done. I think it could. Then he was taken to a dreadful prison, where he met his Father Christmas of the day before. They didn't say much. They just sat together for a long time. Then, later on, the little boy with the great big eyes was taken to a hospital and put to bed. He didn't know quite what happened. He had a strange dream where a man dressed like Father Christmas spoke like the man in the lonely room, and many other things he couldn't remember when he woke up. His head was all bandaged, and they started to take them off. And when they were all off, the little boy with the great big eyes saw for the first time in his life. He couldn't see very well, but he could see. And as time went on, he'd see a lot better. There were lots of people, his father and mother and nurses and doctors. But amongst them all, he couldn't see Father Christmas. So he asked them where Father Christmas was. They all looked at each other. And then his father said, Son, it isn't so much Father Christmas as the Spirit. It isn't so much receiving presents as giving them. It isn't so much Father Christmas as the goodwill to all men he represents. And the boy said, But I must see Father Christmas. I want to thank him for giving me my present. The one in the store couldn't, but the one I met later did. I asked to be able to see, and now I can. And then his father explained how that Father Christmas had gone away to meet the Jesus all men remembered on Christmas Day. And the little boy asked if he would ever see Father Christmas again. And his father said, Son, Maybe you won't see Father Christmas again. Lots of people never see him at all. But for the rest of your life, you'll see the world through his eyes. Which I guess is the finest Christmas present any little boy could ever have.
Bob Gibson presents a musical Christmas box now, his own special arrangement for the Forte Orchestra of an old, old song beloved of boys and girls from 8 to 80, Grandfather's Clock. In this Christmas broadcast of the Ford Show, we have with us a very distinguished visitor. It is my privilege and pleasure to present to you this well-known figure who is one of the leading industrialists in this country, Mr. Charles A. Smith, Managing Director of Ford Motor Company of Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, it is indeed my pleasure to speak to you on behalf of my fellow directors, members of Ford Australia, and the great family of Ford dealers spread far and wide over this vast country of ours. It is for them I speak to bring you greetings and to wish you all a very happy Christmas. At this joyous Christmas time, let us reflect upon the most memorable sporting event of our lifetime, the 16th Olympiad. The searching rays of the world's spotlight have been focused upon us, exposing our way of life and bringing forth that warming capacity to extend spontaneous hospitality to all comers, regardless of class, color, or creed. To this hospitality has been added the true spirit of good sportsmanship, both outstanding contributions to world unity. What better time, then, than Christmas to express the hope that this unity will strengthen during the coming year, bringing forth a friendly feeling of encouragement and trust and spiritual goodwill towards men. So may all of us from Ford Australia extend to you, your families, and our armed forces overseas our very sincerest wishes for a Merry Christmas and a new year full of life's richest gifts of happiness, health, and prosperity.
Thank you, Mr. C. A. Smith.
Yeah.
Finally, Johnny O'Connor with Bob Gibson, the Forge Orchestra and singers round off your Christmas night entertainment with one of the tenderest of all the Christmas songs. And with it, we send our greetings to all those who tonight must be thinking, perhaps wistfully, of the snow-clad Yuletide scenes of other lands, of tinkling sleigh bells, blazing log fires, and the glittering, icy brilliance of the Christmas nights of Europe, Canada, and North America, where your own home folks are. So for a little while, let's dream of a white Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be
feature the well-known radio actress Sheila Sewell and Daryl Stewart, Norma Francis, Johnny O'Connor, the Consoleurs, with the Ford Show Orchestra led by Bob Gibson. The Ford Show is produced and directed by Darcy Fitzgerald. David Lowe speaking. A reminder, too, to listen for the Ford Show again at the same time next week, presented by Ford Motor Company of Australia. The Ford Show is broadcast over an Australia-wide network to our armed forces and shortwave listeners around the world through Radio Australia. So, until the same time next week, it's good night from
F-O-R-D.
And remember, wherever you go, wherever you are, watch the Fords go by.